What a moment. We're gathering together as the local church. We've seen our church family members go through baptism. And we are rejoicing today that individuals have chosen to identify themselves with Jesus. And now we get to celebrate that we're officially Reside Church. And if you missed our New Era Sunday, which is about a month or so ago, where I preached about Reside Church and brought the name before you. If you missed out on that and you haven't caught up on the video, here's some key details. We believe that God is faithful to every generation. Amen. And we revel in the fact that of what God's done in our church and the generations that have come before us. They are the building blocks, the foundation that we have been able to build upon. But God is faithful to every generation, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. That's found in Psalm 100, verse 5, because God's good. That's why his faithfulness continues to each generation. And one of the key things with our name change, it's not just, you know, like we could have come up with like a really cool name, like cool church. You know, like, so it's just, you know, it's one of those like verbs. It's like, that is like so cool. But instead, we chose to go to the Holy Scriptures and find out what God was prompting and speaking to us about. And so in 1 John 4:13, we catch this passage of Scripture that says, "By this we know that we reside in God and he in us, in that he has given us of his Spirit." What does that mean? When we came before God and we said, "We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. His Spirit came and resided in our hearts, and we reside in him." And I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty exciting thing for each and every single one of us. It's also a promise to our city. It's a promise to our nation. It's a promise to the nations of the world that God wants to come and reside in the hearts of anyone that would bow their knee to Christ Jesus. And this is the heartbeat of our new name. And then earlier in the year, we spoke about that our mission statement, our statement of mission was being refined. And that'll be on the screen. It says, "We're a Spirit-filled church devoted to loving God and sharing the good news of Jesus." Why? Why do we want to share the good news of Jesus? Because we want to see the Spirit of God reside in every heart that's prepared to turn their hearts and their face towards God. It's our mandate that Jesus, the good news of Jesus, would reside in every heart. You know, our mandate is to see hearts and heaven full of residence. You know, like that word resides in that word residence. It's our mandate to see hearts and heaven full of residence, people who've chosen to reside in God and he in them. And lastly, Psalm 84 says this: "How happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continually." I don't know about you, but when I came to church and found Jesus, joy filled my heart. Happiness. Did that happen for anybody else? All of a sudden, like, life circumstances didn't change, but Jesus came and resided in my heart, and it changed everything. And so what I want to talk to you briefly about today, I'm going to give you the expedited version this morning, because all you're thinking about is cupcakes. I want to talk about transitions and transformation. Transitions and transformation. You know, as we rejoice and we step into this new era as Reside, I wanted to take a moment to convey to each of us that with every new era comes a season of transition and transformation. In any area of our lives, it could be that you decided to get married. New era, transition, transformation into a couple who's one in God. You get married and you have kids. Well, that was a huge transition and transformation that happened. Anyone else? So the simplest example that I can bring to you today in regard to transition and transformation is to talk about salvation. I think that's one of the biggest transition and transformations that any human has the opportunity to go through. Salvation meaning that there's a moment where every person has the opportunity to hear the good news. The good news that God sent his son, Jesus. He walked amongst humanity, loved all people, healed people, went to the cross, took on the sin of the world, rose again 3 days later, raised by the power of God. And why did he do that? So that we didn't have to carry the weight of our own sin, our guilt, our shame. He took that to the cross, to the grave, and rose again victorious for every single one of us. You know, if we choose to do this, it allows for us to be known by God, to be loved by God. And if we choose to make him Lord of our life, he resides in us and we reside in him. Now, this is the perfect example of personal transition and personal transformation upon accepting Jesus. You know, the whole thing with guilt and shame is it leaves us in a place where we're unjustified. But when we accept Christ, we're justified through Christ. Not in our own strength, not in our own ability. We're justified through him. What an amazing transition and transformation that happens at salvation. It doesn't stop there, though. We're renewed and consistently sanctified as we become more and more like Jesus every day, as the Holy Spirit says, like, hey, leave that behind. Hey, leave that behind. I need you to be fashioned more in the likeness of God. And today we're embarking on what we've described as a new era. And naturally, in the natural, it looks like a mere rebrand. For anyone involved in marketing, in the room? It looks like a mere rebrand. It looks like a simple name change. And yet at the heart of it, we're positioning ourselves to be right where the will of God has called us to be. We've been listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And because of this, we're found choosing to activate his will for us as a church. We're transitioning and we're being transformed as we're obedient to what he's called us to do. And you know, let's be clear, we are indeed in a moment of transition and transformation. There have been many moments throughout the past year or so where we've introduced what could be merely perceived as change. And change is very different to transition and transformation. Change is one of those things that's like, I like it. Now you can keep it. Some of us are like, we love change. Others are change resistant. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. Someone did anyway. But I want to say today, what's happening right now is not change. Rather, it's transition and transformation. And change, we can be like, nah. But transition and transformation, it's like, okay, God, if this is what you're speaking to us about, how do I need to walk through this so it transforms me in the way that I actually apply myself to it? Now, one of the other things we did in the last year, one of our change things, one of our transitions and transformation has been that we solidified our foundations, that we're a spirit-filled church, we're commissioned, and we're wholly devoted to everything that God has for us, but most of all, we're wholly devoted to him. We love him with our heart, our soul, and our mind. And now we've been re-identified as a local church, Reside Church. All of these moments, they add up to significant transition, significant transformation for us as a church, but also for individuals within the church. Amen. Why am I talking about this in such a way that I'm like still going on about it? It's really important that we make this journey together, that no one's left behind, that we look after each other as we walk through everything that God has for us. See, God calls every generation to work out the plans that he has for that generation. And I want to remind you today that we are following God. We are joining him in his mission, not our mission, in his mission. That's what we're called to. And as we step into these promises and identity today, I want you to know some of these things that I'm about to talk to you about. The first one is this: God goes before us. We're not stumbling around the wilderness with our machetes out, just trying to cut our way through the wilderness. God goes before us. God clears the way. God clears the path. It says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God goes before you. Amen. God goes before us. Don't fear. Don't worry. Don't be discouraged. God himself is going before us, and it's our mandate simply to follow him, to follow his leadings. You know, the scriptures affirm that he will never leave you and never forsake you. And if you're struggling at the moment, just in any area of your life, you're like, I just feel like I'm doing this by myself. Be reminded today, God is with you. He will never leave you and never forsake you. It's imperative that you hear it today. Don't do this journey of life alone. God is with you. The church is around you. Amen. Psalm 139:5 says this, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand a blessing on my head. And it's imperative for us to understand this, that when God's people are obedient, when God's people follow him, God's hand is upon his people. If you class yourself as one of his people, God's hand of blessing is upon you. So I feel so unworthy. Jesus took it to the cross. Jesus took it to the cross. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. What's done is done. He took care of it. Amen. You know, those who choose to live in obedience to him and follow his ways, you can expect that he will guide you. He will lead you. He'll come from behind. You won't be picked off from the back. He's taking care of business in the way that he leads us and the way he takes care of what's happening behind us as well. Number two, the encouragement in transition and transformations is be strong and courageous. So, but I don't like really feel strong and courageous today. Did anybody have a couple of coffees to feel strong and courageous today? People are like, should I put my hand up? In Joshua 1, Joshua has just been given leadership to transition the people of God into the promised land, into the promises that God has for this group of people. And he gets a word from God, prompting of God, and he speaks clearly to the leaders and the people. And I want to encourage you that if we were just to read Joshua 1, it's like, man, that's like, and we'll hear it in a second, it's like 3 days and we're crossing into the promises of God. It's like, wow, they had it so easy. But if we go into the books and chapters preceding Joshua 1, we see that God already wanted to cross his people into the promises. And they rejected him. They put idols in their life. They're like, no, we're not ready to go now. And then they're like, oh, we're ready to go now. And Moses is like, I'm telling you, don't move. God hasn't called us to move. He called us already and you've been disobedient. And what was the outcome of them not having humble hearts and obedient hearts? They had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. But we come into Joshua 1 right here. And this is what God says to Joshua, starting in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law, the Bible, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go and to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. So why are you telling us this story that's thousands of years old? Every generation gets called by God to cross into the promises that he has for them. Why? Because if we lived in the glory days of the people who have come before us, we'd become despondent. We'd go about our own ways. We'd introduce practices that aren't in the book. So God has every generation come to this place. It's like, will you take up your cross? Will you follow me? Will you transition into the promises and be transformed? There are promises that God has given us and possessions that he's called us to take hold of. There is a mission that he has set before us. And be reminded again freshly today, what God has promised, God will give. What God has promised, God will give. All that's required is for his people, for us, to take heart, be strong, be courageous, be bold, be obedient. Here are some key directions in that passage of scripture that God gave his people to cross over into the promises. First one, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey his directions. Don't turn to the left or right. And I want to encourage you today, what is your left and right? Because it's really easy to be like, oh yeah, no, it's good, like easy. I'm not going to turn to the left or right. Can I say that more often than not, the left and the right, those things that have the potential to take our heads, they're enticing. They're the very things that our flesh desires. They're the very thing that our old self is like, hey, remember that. It could be horrific things, or it could be as simple as smashing a box of Magnums. And there's obviously a whole lot of things in between that, right? What's your left or right? See, anything that's not in his plans, anything that's not in his promises, the left and the right, they're knockoffs. They're false gospels. They're counterfeits. They're the old life. They're the old ways. If you do keep your eyes set on the Lord, you enter into everything and every good success will be yours. Keep his word. Keep the Bible in your heart and on your lips. Meditate on it. Do what's written in it. Be ready to go over to the other side. When God calls you to move, like be ready to step into the promises that he has for you. You know, the best gift that any generation can give the next is obedience to God's direction. Do you know how much easier that makes it for the next generation? I mean, anyone else come from a family that didn't know the Lord? You know, if you came from a family that didn't know the Lord, I want to encourage you. You've made big, strong decisions to step into the plans and promises that God has for your family generationally. You didn't have it as easy as some of us who are already in church. You chose, it's like, I'm choosing to follow Jesus. Everyone around me is not. I'm choosing to be obedient and bow my knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You chose obedience. That is your gift to the next generation. And so where we're going is where he's called us to be. And our confidence is found in his word. In Isaiah 43:1 says this, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I've called you by name, you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." I want to encourage you, biblical transitions are not mere shifts in names, circumstances, or ideas. They're God-orchestrated moments, preparing the way for profound growth and transformation. And as we do that today, let's be reminded, God has called us by name. He's called you by name. He promises that he's with you. He promises you that when you go through the waters of difficulty, you're not going to drown. When you go through the fire of oppression, you're not going to be burned up. God is with you. Why? He is your Savior. He is our Savior. Amen. As the team gets ready to come, you know, God uses pivotal moments just like this. God meticulously molds and forms his people. And I want to say this to you today. He is shaping us for the plans and purposes that he has prepared for us. As he does that, can I encourage you, be ready for the transition. Be ready for the transformation. Don't perceive it as change. Change it is not. It's his promises that he's called us to step into for now and the generations to come. Take heart. Take courage. We're crossing into his promises. Take heart. take courage. These are exciting days. God is at work. God is moving amongst us. There are things as a church right now that we're putting in place, been putting in place for a little bit. And I'm not talking about the new signs, although they look pretty awesome. Catch your attention. There are things that we're putting in place right across our church body. Why are we doing that? Because we believe that God's hand is upon us to see people reside in the kingdom of God. That heaven may be full of sons and daughters who hear the good news of Jesus. And we're putting all these things in place because we want our doors to be open, we want our building to be big enough to take care of the people that God has in our city that are yet to know Him. Yet to know Him. And so as I talk about being yet to know Him, it would be remiss of me not to give everybody in the room this morning the opportunity to know God personally. You've heard me talk about during the baptisms and during my message that God sent His Son Jesus because God loves the world so much. John 3:16, if you're not familiar with it, He loved the world so much that He sent His one and only Son. He doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want us to be separated from Him. That's why He sent His Son. He wants to embrace us as sons and daughters. God wants to be your heavenly Father. And so if you don't know Him personally today, you've been walking your own way, doing your own thing, God doesn't look on you with despising eyes. He looks on you with loving eyes today. He's like, son, daughter, come home. Accept Jesus. He took care of your sin on the cross so you didn't have to carry the decisions, the guilt, the shame. He wants you just to lay that at the foot of the cross and be known as a son and daughter. So what I want to do today is as simple as this. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. This is just to give the people around you. If that's you today, you're like, I don't know God. He's not the Lord of my life. I'm going to give you the opportunity to call on the name of the Lord today and be saved and forgiven and set free. I'm going to ask you in a moment, if that's you, no one looking around, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up, and once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. And this is not about you showing me, this is about you saying, hey God, I want Jesus in my heart. I want to reside in you. If that's you today, on the count of three, put your hand up and then you can put it back down. 1, 2, 3, if that's you. Awesome, thank you. Anyone else say, see, awesome, thank you. Anyone else say, yeah, I need to be forgiven and known by God the Father. Anyone else today? A couple of people have already put their hand up. Don't let this moment pass you by. This is the most important part of this morning. Way more important than a transition to a new name. Anyone say, yeah, I need Jesus. Can't do this by myself anymore. He sees you in the moments when you feel alone. He sees you in the moments where you're like, this is too hard. I can't do this anymore. He sees you. And this morning He comes to you and says, you don't have to do this by yourself anymore. One more time. If that's you, put your hand up and then you can put it back down. Just with every eye closed, we're going to pray a prayer. And it's a prayer of calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. And I'm going to ask the whole church to pray this prayer with me. Just let's pray this out loud. It's nothing to be ashamed of. This is the greatest day of the lives of the people who are choosing to pray this prayer, whether it's for the first time or you coming back to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, nice and loud. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that He went to the cross, that He went to the grave, and He rose again, victorious for the forgiveness of my sins. This day, I choose to follow you. I repent of my sin. I choose to follow you for all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.